She's the first one to come back. Hello, my name is Drew. Welcome to Fascinating People, the show where we grab someone from the community who has impacted our way of life or someone who simply grew up here because everybody is fascinating. All you have to do is give us 30 minutes of your time for you to share your story, if of course you're willing to tell it. Catherine is so willing to tell her story that she came back for a second time. When Dreamcatcher Theater was still a glimmer in her eye and wanted to put on her first performance, I invited her on the show to tell us a bit about what her dream would be for Dreamcatcher. Fast forward a couple years, and they've already done two productions and plenty of events. We're going to go through that two-year lifespan, what she's learned along the way, and plenty more on today's episode of Fascinating People. Reminder, if you want to be on this show, send me an email, drew@moosefm.com. Without further ado, let's learn about Dreamcatcher with Kat Clark.
So, hi, my name is Catherine. I'm from West Nipissing Dreamcatchers.
You're the organizer. Like, this was your baby.
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, it definitely was.
So let's start with that right off the bat, because also, welcome back.
Thank you.
You were I think you were my second guest on this show when I still kind of didn't know what I was going to do with it. And as soon as we said, oh, we're going to put these episodes on air, we're actually going to be able to have many people listen to it instead of having to go different websites, different articles, what have you. And I was editing yours and I'm like, oh, this is very dated.
It is very dated.
So thank you for coming back and kind of updating us on Dreamcatcher. But I think before we get into how it's grown since you and I last talked, let's start with the beginning. What is Dreamcatcher Theater?
Well, we've kind of elaborated on it in the last year. So Dreamcatcher Theater started as just a theater for kids. Putting on plays for the community, giving the kids in the town and in surrounding areas something to do, surrounding the arts. But since then, we've taken theater out of our name, so we're just West Nipissing Dreamcatchers. We still have the theater, but now we have an events section as well. So we're looking at starting all kinds of events in West Nipissing, keeping the town busy, busy, busy.
Is it still arts-centric?
Yes.
So then, are you still putting on productions?
We are, for sure. Yep.
So then you kind of amalgamated into just, I don't know what the best way to put it, but an arts center.
Yeah.
So then how did that kind of come to be? Let's start with the original concept of just the putting on the shows. Why did you want to do that?
Well, I took place in another theater. My kids took part in another theater, and they absolutely loved it. And I heard there were so many kids that that want to be in it, but that just can't travel. And I thought, you know what? I got to take a chance. It's something I love, something I'm passionate about. So I decided I would just kind of take the leap and open my own business doing theater for kids in West Nipissing.
And were you working at the time that you decided to do this?
I wasn't. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I've got lots of time on my hands.
Well, that is a job. It's technically a job. Worthwhile one.
Sure.
It takes up your time.
Yep.
But you found time in the middle to kind of start this process up. And how was it the first time around? I believe your first production, if I'm not mistaken, was Annie.
Yes.
How did that go?
It went wonderfully. The kids were great. Everybody was excited. Show nights, the kids were in the back almost shaking. They were so excited to get on stage. It was a little terrifying our first time around. We weren't sure how we were going to do, but it turned out great. We sold out every night that we showed the play. Yeah.
That's amazing. And was it just parents and family members, or were you able to actually branch out tickets to just people want to see a show?
We were able to branch out tickets. So we got, I think our first time around, we got mostly family and friends with just a couple of extra people here and there that had heard about us online. But our second production, we had a lot of people that weren't family and friends.
Because you kind of proved yourself at that point, like, we know what the heck we're doing.
Exactly.
So then what did you learn in between there? Because Annie being the first production, or Annie Jr., I should say, because you had to copyright reasons.
Yes.
So with Annie Jr., it was your first time around. And as my old grade 10 teacher used to tell me, the first crepe goes to the dogs. Like, you got the process down, but that's not the one you serve. You serve the next crepe you make. So what did you learn from Annie that you did? Your second one was Little Mermaid Jr., if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So what did you learn between Annie and Little Mermaid that really helped you with the second production?
I think we just got to know our kids a lot better. We had a lot of repeat kids, so we got to know our kids a lot better. We got to know how the kids learned, and we were able to set up our rehearsals in a way that worked a little better, because our first time round, we weren't sure how to do it. Second time round, we had a better idea of what would work for putting on a fantastic show.
So what were kind of the issues with the audition? Not the audition, the rehearsal time?
We just had certain nights that didn't work for parents, so we ended up going to 3 nights a week, but Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it seemed to work better for kids. And then we also learned that it had to wrap around the music completely and then work on acting from there. And yeah, that's about all of it.
So just about fine-tuning the stuff that worked.
Exactly.
So then how do you guys keep it going? Because I'm assuming you've got set work, you've got costumes, you got to get the music as well. How do you get that process on stage?
Well, we start very early on. So before we finish one show, we have already chosen our next show. We're then able to tell the kids and get them pumped up about the next show. We start doing costumes as soon as we finish auditions. So as soon as we know which kids are which roles, we start costumes.
So you get the sizing, right?
We get all the sizing, yeah. We have a woman in Verner that we work with who volunteers all of her time to do our costumes for us. We get the music from our playwrights.
Okay, and then you just take all that and you run auditions. Who's the director for the productions?
Myself and my partner, April Lengua.
Makes sense. And you've done that. How many productions have you done now?
We've done two, and we were into our third when COVID hit.
Right. So then was that kind of when you decided to transition to Dreamcatcher as an encompassing idea, or did you kind of have that at the beginning?
We kind of had that after our first show. We just had a lot of ideas of things that we felt maybe the town was missing out on, because it was a smaller town that there wasn't as many opportunities for date nights or as many opportunities for kids to get out and not be on the streets. We wanted to put on dances. We wanted to put on, we're looking at in the future, putting on a ball for the adults.
Like a full gown?
Like a gown and tux ball for adults. We're putting on this summer sing-a-thon on the 29th of August. We just thought these things needed to be brought to West Nipissing.
So you've got the idea for the ballroom. Is there anything else that you're kind of, now that you've full dived into the Dreamcatcher moniker, what else is in the future for this organization?
Oh, there's going to be lots in our future. we definitely want to have another West Nipissing Idol competition.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yes. So we definitely want to have another one of those. That went great. Everybody had a blast. It was a lot of fun. We're running a bottle drive in the end of August and all of September. We have the idea for the ball, the idea for dances. I think that's about where we're at right now.
That's still a lot on your plate.
Yeah.
And are you, once the threat of COVID dies down, are you thinking to go back and do productions on stage as well?
Yes, definitely.
So that's a lot to put on your plate then.
Yes.
So when you said that's it, I'm like, it's incredible to hear some of the things that you're wanting to bring.
Yeah.
How do people tend to get involved with you then? You said you have this woman in Verner that helps you with the costumes.
Yeah. So a lot of times we end up reaching out to people. We get just word of mouth. People will suggest people to us and we'll confront them and see if they're interested in working with us. Sometimes we've had people come to us who wanted to volunteer. We're at a group now. We have 4 on our board and we have about 12 volunteers now, regular volunteers in the theater, and then some in our events sector as well.
Okay. So that you separate the actual productions from the other stuff?
Yes.
Why do you do that?
Because we have 2 people who are the coordinators of events. and they run strictly events. So we all kind of work together, but it takes some off of mine and April's plate so that we aren't trying to run the theater as well as all these events. So we go down, we help out night of, we help give ideas where we can, but it's not all on us. And then Pat and Carol run the events sector, and they take care of talking to venues and going out and talking to people that we may need for different things, finding volunteers, all that.
That's very smart. You don't want to burn out in something that would take that amount of attention and focus.
Exactly.
So I wanted to kind of dive in a little bit more into that idol thing you did, because I bet that would have been the first modicum of, hey, other types of theater would really work with this planning idea.
Yeah.
So where did the idea for the West Nipissing Idol come from?
We really thought that there were no sort of karaoke competitions, nothing like that really in West Nipissing. And we went to a couple out of town and they were just a blast. So we thought we would bring our own spin off a karaoke competition to West Nipissing. And we have so much talent here. So it was easy to find people who were interested in it.
So how is Dreamcatcher, because you guys brought a lot of people into a theater, you got all these rehearsals, and I'm assuming with Idol you had some, where was it held?
At Don's Pub and Grill.
That's right. So another closed space.
Yep.
Obviously with COVID-19, you're not allowed to have people in that condensed of an area,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah.
How has Dreamcatcher changed since the pandemic began?
It's really hurt us as far as our fundraising goes. We had a full summer day camp planned for this summer. We had it all worked out, and now we weren't able to do that this past summer. So that was supposed to raise a lot of money to help in all these different sectors, to help put on bigger and better events, put on bigger and better shows. Unfortunately, we really believe as a group in earning the money, doing something to bring in money, not just going out looking for donations all the time, which is why we run all of our fundraisers and things like that.
Be more proactive than inactive.
Exactly.
I get that. So do you have a way that people can help anytime, or do you prefer bringing in this community to make an event?
We have had people donate to us just because they wanted to donate and help out. The other option is when we have our shows running, there's some kids that want to be in the shows but can't afford to be. So we do go out and ask businesses if they're interested in sponsoring a child. There's usually many businesses interested. But anybody who's interested can sponsor a child at any time. It's $100. So anyone's able to come in and offer to sponsor a child. They can reach out on Facebook or by email, by phone. Our information's all on our Facebook page.
Oh, okay. Well, just we have a couple listeners that aren't on Facebook.
Yeah.
So do you mind taking some time just to, if you have your email on hand or phone number on hand, just so they can listen and write it down? I'm padding for time so they can scramble to find paper and a pen to write it down.
Yeah, for sure. So my email is kittymorin@yahoo.ca. So that's kittymorin@yahoo.ca. And my phone number is 705-358-3555 for anyone interested in calling.
So you've talked about you're running fundraisers. You've got the Sing-a-thon coming up, which I've only seen the poster. I haven't talked to you in detail about it. But from my understanding, you have a stage set up between 9 in the morning till 7 at night, and just different performers going out doing their thing, and there's food and drinks.
That's pretty much what it is, yeah. Lorraine's allowed us to put up our tent in their space, so we have many, many singers set up to come out. A lot of our theater kids are coming out. They're going to be performing songs. We also have J.R. Obertank coming out. He's going to be doing a set for us. We also have Danielle and Dan from Roadhouse, and Johnny's DJ and karaoke service from Sudbury coming as well. So it's going to be kind of a fun day.
It sounds unique.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what you're going for. You said you went to a karaoke show and you wanted to take that idea. You didn't just take it all. You made it your own.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to get a feel of what Dreamcatcher has become in the last 2 years. So it used to be, you know, we want a theater production that's close to home and make sure the kids can go out on the streets. But now it seems like you have a more expanding goal with Dreamcatcher. How would you describe, when you have your board meetings, why is everybody there? What do they want to do with Dreamcatcher?
Well, everybody wants to see it build up to something big. We want to be able to have our own space in town, have our own building. Where we want to be able to put on bigger shows. We want to be able to put on bigger events. We're interested in putting on like a big summer carnival 1 year. But right now we just aren't in a place to be able to do those things. So they're kind of on the back burner. But our goal is to just get to be a huge staple in the town.
So then from a personal standpoint, how important is having an arts hub in West Nipissing?
Oh, it's so important to me. It's something I'm extremely, extremely passionate about. I want my kids to grow up in the arts. I want their friends to be able to be involved in the arts. I want anybody who's interested to be able to come to us, no matter who they are, no matter anything about them. I want them to be able to come in and be part of our theater family.
Do you have any stories about the theater family? Like, you have a platform here where you're talking to like all of West Nipissing, and I want to hear some behind the scenes stuff of some interesting production, maybe mishaps or like really proud moments behind the scenes of Annie or Little Mermaid or The Idol or anything. Can you think of a story that pops up to your mind when you think of Dreamcatcher?
Well, we do a thing at the end of every show. We go to the bowling alley and the last two times we've gone to the bowling alley, and the kids bowl all day and there's food and we do a ceremony. And in that ceremony, we pick a handful of kids among me and April. And we pick these kids based on not if they were a main character, but based on special things about that child in general. We have one child, Erica Jo. She was our Annie in Annie. And my daughter, Michaela, was crying one day because she just felt she couldn't hit the notes she was supposed to hit. She wasn't going to be able to do her part in the show. And Erica was right over there. They're totally different ages. And she was right over sitting with her arm around her on the bench and talking to her. We've had little kids that are having a hard time or getting just too busy. And we have a girl in our theater named Abby. She's always right there helping out, always dealing with the young kids and helping them if they're feeling down and helping people hit their notes. And it's kind of, I mean, I could say things about every child in the theater because I love them all. Like, they're great children. We got some new kids this year. We were just getting to know them and they all seem really great. So most of them are coming out for the sing-a-thon to sing, and we'll be able to see them again, but it's hard when you don't get to see them for a really long time.
I bet. Are you the MC for this, the master of ceremonies?
I am.
Are you going to be sharing a bunch of these stories?
I probably will.
That's fantastic. I would love to. I love that stuff. Because
yeah.
You talk about putting things on stage, and you think about the minutiae, the numbers, like, okay, you need this many things, got to make this notes, but that's not what, to me, theater is. It's not what the arts are.
No.
I look back on some of the stuff I did in music. I was a percussionist. I was a drummer. And yeah, I could talk about all the songs I like to play, but those aren't the memories that I made. It was the other stuff. Do you have memories from your past influences in art that keep you going? Like when Dreamcatcher gets hard, because I'm sure there are moments where it can get overwhelming. Are there moments in your past that you look back on, these are the memories I want to help these kids make?
You know what? I wasn't very involved in the arts until high school. And I remember that it was a safe place for me. It was somewhere where I could totally be myself and everybody supported me and nobody cared if you were different in any way or if you weren't perfect at something. Everybody just supported each other. And that's the place, that's what I strive for West Nipissing Dreamcatcher's Theater to be.
A safe space where you can be yourself.
Exactly. Yep.
How much influence do those kids then have on the production? Because going back to my music experience, there were always notes from the student to the teacher, who knows, got years of experience in this, but they always have those ideas. How much influence do your performers have on the end product?
They actually have a large amount of influence. We always choose one of our students to be our junior director for every show. So whichever student we choose works with us all the way through the show. They're not a part of the show, but they get to see how the show's put on, and they get help with auditions, with rehearsals. They get to help with the backstage stuff. So they really get to see how everything works and flows. But we have rehearsals quite often. On purpose, we set up so just a group of our older kids come in. And before we start rehearsal, we'll sit down and we'll talk about what they think about the show. What's something they think would make the show better? And we'll go around the room and take ideas. And I would say probably 80% of the time, we end up taking their ideas and using them.
What are some ideas that you remember the kids coming out with? What would an attendant watching Annie or Little Mermaid, when they see that was a kid's idea?
Well, I remember when we put on Annie, I remember it was Abby, and she was Rooster in that show. And she had an idea for this wicked laugh to throw in at the end of one of her lines.
Kind of like a cackle?
Yes, because he's supposed to be sort of an evil character in the show. And it wasn't written in the book. She just came out with it. And she planned the whole dance for that section as well. So her and Mia were in there together. And they did the whole dance, planned the whole thing themselves, came and showed it to us. And we ended up going with their entire dance for that show and the crazy maniacal laugh.
So on their own time, they organized all this and presented it to you.
Yep.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Do you have an age limit for Dreamcatcher Theater at all?
We don't.
Anybody can come in. You'll find a place for them.
Yep.
When people come in then with the influences or the idea with the maniacal laugh or the dance routine, is there a section in rehearsals that you dedicate to that? Or is it pretty much a free flow? We're here to do a job, but it's also a mixture of free time.
It's pretty set up and scheduled, but we always have free time so that the kids can have some time to talk to us if they need to talk to us about anything, or just make friends, take time to make some friends and talk to new people. Or to practice their lines, things like that. So a lot of times that's the time that everybody gets to kind of bond as a theater family.
I wanted to ask you about, you mentioned a bit about your future. You want to have your own space. You want to be able to have the freedom to put on your own productions whenever you'd like. Let's go a little bit farther into the future. If you ever retire from arts, which I know is kind of an oxymoron, no one ever really retires, but you just can't find it in yourself to continue at the high caliber you are now, what would you like your legacy to be?
I really just hope that somebody would carry it on. I hope that one of my children would carry it on, or one of the theater children who are really involved in it. We do have some theater kids already who are talking about wanting to be involved in volunteering when they get older, as opposed to being in the show. I really hope that it would continue on, continue putting out shows, continue building and putting out these big, beautiful events. I would hope that it would get carried on.
And that's where you'd have your stamp be like, I built this, but it's not about me. Keep putting things on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Was there anything you would like to talk about when it comes to Dreamcatcher? Because I know I've kind of just been hitting you with question after question. I may not have touched upon something that, you know, fuels your heart towards this endeavor.
I guess I should just put out that we have, like I said, we have a board of four now. So we all have different sectors that we deal with. So we have copies of our business cards if anyone's interested in them. But we have now two events coordinators. That's Patricia Morin and Carol Engelhardt. And Carol is also our French coordinator. So for anybody who's interested in reaching out and can't speak English or prefers to speak French, they can reach out and speak to Carol anytime, and she can deal with anything that they're interested in.
So how do you incorporate the French language then?
We don't have it incorporated in our theater because we don't speak French.
Fair.
So April and I don't have anything French in the theater, But in the events on the 29th, actually, we have several French songs being sung.
Oh, okay. So there is a bit of inclusion. You're just figuring out where to put it.
Exactly. Yeah. In a place that we're able to work with it.
Yeah. And another idea of what Abby did. If you have an idea for a French event.
Exactly.
You'd be open to hearing it.
Yep.
So then that you have the email and phone number. So it's not just about donating and volunteering. You can kind of use West Nipissing as a sounding board. See
exactly.
What they want to see.
Yeah. We actually had a post on Facebook not long ago asking what people want to see. And we had lots of different suggestions. That was before our West Nipissing Idol, and everybody wanted the karaoke competition. So that's the reason we decided to put on West Nipissing Idol. We also want to put on a kids' West Nipissing Idol.
Nice.
So for kids who want to come out and do it as well.
So you mentioned the ball.
Yes.
Was there any other ideas that came out of that that you're like, maybe not now, but if we keep going on this trajectory, keep building and building, possibly?
I can't really answer that myself.
Okay.
Because the events crew deals with all of that.
Fair play.
So I only know what they've told me so far. And what they've told me so far is that in the future they want to put on this ball. They were hoping to do it this Halloween, but things aren't opened up yet and they would have to be for them to do it by now. So it'll probably be a next year thing.
That makes sense. But the ideas are still swimming. You haven't left us.
Nope.
You're just figuring out how to adapt with the times.
Exactly.
So I know you mentioned earlier that it was Willy Wonka that was tanked in COVID-19, all that pandemic nonsense. Struck that out. Is it out completely?
It is not. So April and I are still pushing through. We believe the show should go on. So we have put a pause on it with no date in mind for putting on the show. And once you're allowed to sing indoors again, we'll be looking at putting on our show. We'll be opening up rehearsals again and putting on a show.
Okay.
And it'll be Willy Wonka still.
Do you think you're going to bring in, what have you done already for Willy Wonka? Like is there anything set in stone that is going to continue on, or are you just going to start everything from scratch?
Well, we bought costumes, but we've had some kids who've had to drop out of it because their parents aren't keeping them in it. So it'll be an up in the air. We're going to have to run auditions again and get some new people into the roles that need to be filled. But, I think it'll just go ahead and continue on where it was.
Wonderful. Well, I'm very excited to hear more about Willy Wonka when we can finally go outside and not have something cover our face.
Exactly.
But thanks so much for coming in and kind of giving us an update on where Dreamcatcher has grown.
No problem.